And the title of my message tonight is There's No Room for Two. I want to begin by reading to you from the Gospel of Matthew, which tells us a little bit about the story of the birth of Jesus. And it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking this question: Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. And so Herod calls a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law, and he asks this question: Where is this Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote: And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star had first appeared to them. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can worship him as well. So often at Christmas time, we like to tell the story of Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. Many of us have nativity scenes set up in our home. I know we do. Our kids have always enjoyed setting out the figurines. And when they were really young, they even used to play with them. Everything looks so peaceful and serene. But when you read closely the story surrounding the birth of Jesus, we find that his coming into the world was anything but peaceful. The scripture that I have just read tells the account of how the wise men, who were these royal astrologers from the east, they had seen this special star appear in the sky, and they knew that it represented the coming Messiah. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were asking questions about this, and they were wondering where this newborn king was. And when they began to ask these questions, they created an uproar in the city. Everyone was disturbed, the Bible tells us, including the king named Herod. Now, I'm sure none of you have a figurine of Herod with your nativity set, even though he had told the wise men, when you find the Savior, when you find the Messiah, come and tell me, I want to worship him as well. And of course, the reason why Herod is not part of the nativity scene is that this message about Jesus had created a great disturbance within him. Historians tell us that Herod's name was the king of the Jews. That's what he was known as. This was his title. And the fact that the wise men were looking for the new king of the Jews, well, that deeply agitated him. Historians also tell us that Herod was crazy. He was a wicked, evil man. He was not the rightful heir to the throne of David, and so many Jews hated him as a result. They saw him as a usurper of a throne that was not rightly his. Herod was a man who was filled with extreme paranoia. And because of his many enemies, he was constantly afraid that somebody was going to make a play for the throne, that somebody was going to invade, that somebody was going to deceive him and steal the throne from out with under him. And so history tells us that Herod was a man who murdered several of his own sons. He murdered his wife, felt bad about it afterwards. He killed his brother-in-law, all because of his fears. In fact, it is said that Caesar Augustus, the one who called for the census to be taken, it is said that Caesar once said this about Herod, that it would have been better to be Herod's pig than to be one of his sons because of the way that he treated his sons. Herod was a deeply disturbed man. And he was deeply disturbed by this news of the coming King of the Jews. Because he knew that the prophets had prophesied about a Messiah. And so as these wise men come and say, where is this newborn King of the Jews? He quickly gets the priests and the religious teachers together, and he wants to know, just where did the prophet say this Messiah is going to be born? And he tells the wise men, when you find out, let me know, because I want to worship him too. Of course, we know Herod had absolutely no intention of worshiping this child. Herod wanted to know where the child was because he wanted to eliminate the child. Now, as we listen to this story, maybe you're sitting here going, man, this is like the most disturbing Christmas Eve message I've ever heard. Let's get back to the shepherds and the angels. And maybe as we're listening to this story and looking at Herod, we can think, man, this guy was absolutely nuts. This guy was crazy. We can't understand why he would do the things that he did. And maybe you're sitting here going, I can't relate to any of this, Pastor. But I want to challenge you with something tonight. I want to challenge you with this thought that each and every one of us might be a little closer to Herod than we realize. We might be a little more like him than we'd like to admit. You see, Herod saw this child as a threat to a throne that he had no business having. But I want to pose this question. Is it not the same with you and I? You see, this is where our worlds collide with Herod's. Herod understood that there was no room for two kings on the throne. Herod understood what was at stake when Jesus comes on the scene. You see, Jesus disturbs our illusion that we are the real king of our lives. And we're not. And when we realize this and move off the throne and give Jesus his rightful place, that is when we experience all that Jesus came to give us. There's some great prophecies regarding Jesus. Isaiah, one of the great Old Testament prophets, said this about Jesus. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, he said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is who Jesus was going to be. A great counselor, a wonderful counselor, a loving father, the one who would be known as the Prince of Peace. In Jesus, real life is found. In Jesus, real peace is found. Through Jesus, we can know love like we've never known before. This is what the prophets were prophesying. When Jesus grew up, and as he began to preach, Jesus said these famous words. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but the reason why I have come is that you would have life and that you would have it to the full." And of course, the thief that Jesus was talking about here is the devil, who's the enemy of our souls. He's the one who wants to destroy our lives. He's the one who wants to rob us of our peace. He wants to make us slaves to anger and unforgiveness and fear and all sorts of things. But Jesus appeared, and he came to free us from these things. He came to give us life to the full. He came to bring us salvation. He came to free us from our sin and our guilt and give us real power to change. But here's the truth. If we want to experience all that Jesus came to bring, we have a decision to make. And the decision we have to make is who is going to be the king of our lives. You see, there is no room for two. And if we're going to experience the life that Jesus came to bring, we have to let go of the life that we are presently living now. And as Herod was disturbed by the news of a new king, the issue of lordship, or the issue of who will be the king of our lives, is often equally as disturbing. You see, giving up control scares us. It requires humility. It requires faith. But my friends, this is where real life begins. This is where true freedom is found. This is where a life of purpose is discovered. Herod, he was threatened by Jesus. When the Magi didn't tell Herod where Jesus was after they found him, Herod flew into a rage. And he ordered, "I want every boy under the age of 2 murdered." Herod was so disturbed within with anger and fear. History shows us that he was a man who had no peace. But here's the great irony. The great irony was that he tried to kill the one who actually could have brought him the peace that he so desired. He thought Jesus was here to take his earthly throne from him. But Jesus wasn't after his earthly throne. Jesus had come for the throne of his heart. And bowing to his lordship would have set Herod free. Herod died within 1 year of the birth of Jesus. He died from a horrible disease that absolutely ravaged his body. His body was literally rotting as he died. It was said that the smell was so putrid that nobody wanted to be near him. He knew he was dying, and he made a decree that on the day that he died, he wanted some of the prominent people in Jerusalem killed on that day as well, because he knew nobody would mourn the day of his death, and he wanted there to be mourning on that day. And there was mourning in Jerusalem, but not for him. How sad is that? But my friends, when we refuse to make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we're just as foolish. Herod had his chance to bow his knee before King Jesus on the earth, but he never took it. Well, what about you? What about me? The coming of Jesus and the life of Jesus disturbed many. And I tell you, he is still disturbing us today. But I want to suggest to you that his disturbance is a great thing, because it gives each and every one of us an opportunity to repent and find the freedom that his lordship brings. We can look at Herod and think, what an evil man. But when we compare ourselves, when we compare our lives to the standards of the Word of God, I tell you, you will realize that we are all sinners. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. There are evil places in every one of our hearts. We've all deceived. We've all exhibited lust and anger and many other things. Within every one of us there is brokenness. Within every one of us there is sin. And I tell you, there is only one answer. There is only one who can heal our hearts. There is only one who can clean the stain of our sins. And Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that here is the answer for redemption. Here is the answer to see the stain of our sins removed. He said, if you will openly declare that Jesus is Lord. In other words, if you will make Jesus the king of your life, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You see, salvation is an issue of lordship. It's taking the position of humility. It's that position that acknowledges, I can't save myself, I need a Savior. It's putting your faith in someone else to save you, in someone else to rule your life. You see, Jesus came for one reason. He came to die. And when he died on the cross, the Bible tells us that he took all of your sin and my sin. He took all of our shame. He experienced God's wrath and God's judgment. He was punished in our place. And on that cross, he made available to you and me his salvation. He offered to us his forgiveness. He offered to us his peace with God. He offered to us his righteousness. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight, you all need it. And you all can receive it by simply joining those wise men who recognized the Messiah and who recognized their need of him and bowed before him. Herod had the same opportunity, but he missed it. I want to end with this question tonight. Will you make Jesus your Lord? Will you receive his salvation? And as you do this, and as you continually make him Lord, when he disturbs you, you see, I find that Jesus disturbs me on a regular basis. He's always putting his finger on areas of my life, and he says, Joel, I want the throne right there. Give me the throne in that area of your life. And I find there's always a wrestle within me for that throne. Do I trust him? Do I want to get off of the throne? But here's the great thing when I do. I experience his freedom and his mercy and his grace and his redemption. And if you're one who years ago made Jesus your Savior, I want to exhort you tonight. Is he still have the throne in your life? Are you still making him Lord? You need to. And if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you've never bowed the knee of your heart and said, I need a Savior. I want to join the wise men. I don't want to be as Herod and miss my opportunity. Then I can't think of a better opportunity than Christmas Eve to do that very thing. And I want to end tonight by just inviting you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. I'm going to pray a prayer of saying, Jesus, I recognize that you're the King and you're the Lord and I need you. I'm nothing without you. I'm lost without you. And I'm ready to receive your salvation. If that's where your heart is tonight, then just right where you're seating. I just want you to place your hand in the air. Nobody's looking around. And say, Pastor, include me in your prayer. Is there anybody here tonight that says, Pastor, I want to pray with you? Thank you. I see some hands there. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see at least 10 hands here. Anybody else here tonight? You can put your hands down. As I pray, you make my prayer your prayer. Jesus, I come before you tonight. I know that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. I see within my heart selfishness and pride, and fears and anger and all these other things. But I believe that you love me so much that you came to set me free. And I thank you that when you went to that cross, you died in my place. And offered me mercy and salvation and forgiveness and righteousness. And tonight I place my faith in what you did, Lord Jesus. And tonight I receive your salvation. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Jesus, rule and reign in every area of my life. Tonight I choose to follow you. Tonight I choose to humble myself before you and make you Lord. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I worship you. And Father, I pray tonight for those of us who've had that experience in the past where we first recognized we needed a Savior. And we said, Jesus be the Lord. But God, we see within us this tug of war. There's still a war for that throne every day. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to put your finger on those areas of our life. Jesus, we welcome your disturbance. We welcome your agitation. Because we know that when we surrender in those areas, we truly find freedom. Jesus, set us free tonight. Again, we choose to make you our Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.